Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. Thanks so much for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. We have a great show for you today because we are going to be talking about the 91st Academy Awards, which will be given out on February 24th. And two of our favorite film critics are here to share their predictions for the Oscar winners in six categories. Mack Bates and Jeff Roberts are waiting in the green room right now, and we're so lucky to have them with us because they both have a deep interest in the Oscars, and they really know their movie stuff. And I see that, as I mentioned, that they're both in the green room. So before bringing them on, I want to mention to you, dear listeners, that they both were in this on our show last year to predict the Oscars, and they did a great job. And so let's get started, and let's call on Jeff Roberts first because it's his birthday, which shows how much dedication he has to the Academy Awards. Yeah. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Jeff.
Thank you, Betty Jo. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, Jeff. And the same goes for Mack Bates. Mack, thank you for agreeing to be one of our guests again today. It's not your birthday, is it?
No, not until March, but I'm happy to be here. And, certainly happy birthday to my fellow guest, Jeff. And let's talk Oscar.
You're right. Happy birthday to Jeff. Now, Jeff, our birthday present to you is that we're not going to sing happy birthday to you. Is that all right?
That's perfectly fine.
If Nikki were here, she would agree to that too, because when we had Cloris Leachman on, it was her birthday, and we sang happy birthday to her, and she said that's the worst singing that she ever heard. So we will keep you from suffering through that, Jeff. And what I would like to do is start out with the best picture list, because I think it's unusually interesting this year. Now, there are eight nominees, and of course, I have written a little poem about all eight of them, so please bear with me, because you know, whenever I write a poem, I have to read a poem, and it's called Going for the Gold. Now, Jeff and Mack, you can count and make sure that I've got all eight into this poem. Here goes. Roma and the favorite clash for Oscar gold and future cash. Which one will win the statuette? We are not sure, at least not yet. Other movies could win the prize, like Black Panther or even Vice. Bohemian Rhapsody might put up a most terrific fight. But A Star is Born and Green Book should not be films to overlook. And Black Klansman might be the one to win Best Films when all is done. So now, Mack, did I get in all eight on that poem? Did you count eight?
Oh, yeah. Yep, you got all of them in.
Well, let's ask Jeff if he counted eight. Did you count all eight of them?
Yep, I got them. That's impressive.
Okay. Then we're ready to go. We know that the nominees are Roma. I have to get my poem sheet here. We know that they are Roma, The Favorite, Vice, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born, Green Book, and Black Klansman. So, Mac, why don't you get us started by sharing your predictions? Which one of those do you think will win, and which one would you like to see win?
See, this is one of those categories this year that is a head-scratcher. I mean, there are some clear standouts, but then the way things have been going, it really could go any way. But the film that I would personally choose if I was a voting member of the Academy out of all these, and this is a pretty impressive bunch, I would have to probably go with just, you know, from my own personal perspective, Black Panther. I know it's a long shot to win, but just in terms of cultural significance, long-lasting appeal, overall, craftsmanship, and, you know, all of the elements that came to work in order to make the project what it was, because it could have gone the complete and total opposite route. It could have been a disaster as opposed to the triumph that it was. I would have to cast my vote for Black Panther. That said, I do believe the film that is going to win is more than likely going to be Alfonso Cuarón's Roma. It's got the momentum behind it at this point. I think it's got an unusually big chance of taking home the gold, just because it's a very personal film from the director. It's based on his upbringing in Mexico, the woman who raised him. And I think the majority of the Academy is going to glom onto that, and people are going to see aspects of their own childhood in that experience. And it's kind of multicultural in that sense. You know, it might be about a Mexican youth and the woman who raised them, the Mexican woman who raised them, but it's kind of universal in appeal in that regard. It's transcended a lot of preconceived notions that people had about stories like that. And I think that's got the momentum behind it. But I would also keep an eye out for a possible spoiler with Green Book, which has got a lot of industry well wishes and cred and certainly awards in its favor. But if I was voting, it would be Black Panther. But I believe Roma is ultimately going to take it in the end. And I believe that would be the first foreign language film to ever win the Best Picture Oscar, if I'm not mistaken. So, I think it's got the momentum behind it. And plus, Alfonso Cuarón is just a brilliant filmmaker. He's proven that time and time again. And he has been to the Oscars before, and he is a prior champion. So I think the momentum is going to keep going for him to pull that off.
Well, that's if you're kind, I'm kind of thinking along the same lines. But let's. But how about you, Jeff? Do you agree with Mac on that category?
Roma is my pick for Best Picture. The interesting thing here is it's also nominated as Best Foreign Film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's evident that it's definitely going to get one of those Oscars, but definitely not both.
Yeah.
Now, I'm picking it for the film to win Best Picture for a variety of reasons. First of all, it checks off all the boxes for the Academy voters and what they like, from Alfonso Cuarón's flawless direction, the beautiful cinematography using black and white, the production design, and the original screenplay. It also has won the Golden Globes for Best Foreign Film, Best Director, Critics' Choice Awards, and a slew of others. Entertainment Weekly recently interviewed Cuarón, who told them that the filmmaking process forced him to see the person that for me was this nurturing figure. She's a cleaning woman named Cleo, and it falls a year in her life. But she sees them. He sees her as a woman that also has a different background and social class. Now, that quote is significant to me, given the current political situation in the U.S. and how people like Cleo have been portrayed. While Roma clearly deserves to win for being a great motion picture, I think the Academy of voters giving it the Best Picture Oscar would also make a really big statement of their own.
Yeah.
And which one do you prefer?
I prefer Roma. If it does not win, I really enjoyed Green Book, and that does have a chance to win definitely.
Well, you know what? You two have made me feel so much better. Because my thoughts are so much like yours. I hope that you're right about Roma, And I'm just delighted at at the recognition that it's getting for all the reasons that both of you mentioned. And also, oh my goodness, Black Panther, that really blew my mind. And I think, so I definitely would not be unhappy if Black Panther won. And the other one that I was thinking about, because of course I'm, I love musicals, and there was so much music in A Star Is Born. I don't think it has a chance, but I wouldn't be unhappy if it did win. So we're pretty much on the same page on that category. And then we get to Best Director. I always think it should be the one who directed the best movie, but that's not always true. And of course, we're limited to five nominees here, which are Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. We've talked about that. Spike Lee, thank heavens. I mean, he's getting a nomination finally for Black Klansman. Adam McKay, Vice, for Vice. Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favorite. And I have trouble with the Polish language, and I'm having trouble with pronouncing Pawlikowski for Cold War. So which director, you've already said, Mac, that you would like to see Roma win, and are you going along with him as the best director?
Yeah, even if Roma doesn't win Best Picture, which is a possibility because you have to take into factor that it's a Netflix film, and there are still some people who are very old school in the regards that if we give a picture Best Picture, it needs to be released theatrically and still be in theaters, not be available for streaming at home. But if Roma takes home any of the major prizes that it's up for, I think Best Director is pretty much a slam dunk for Alfonso Cuarón, just because touch base on what Jeff said earlier. It's such a personal story. It's pretty much, it's his baby in every conceivable way. He wrote it, he directed it, he's a producer on it, he shot it. It was just pretty much a one-man show and truly a monumental directorial and just filmmaking achievement overall. So I do believe that in that regard, with all of those factors coming into play, that I think it's his certainly to a win. I think he's the guy to beat. But you also have to wonder whether or not the Academy is going to want to right an egregious wrong and bestow the Oscar for Best Director to Spike Lee, who, after a 40-year career in film, dating back to when he was a student filmmaker back in his university days, is finally getting his first ever Oscar nomination for direction. He had been nominated twice previously, once for Best Original Screenplay for Do the Right Thing back in 1989. I remember that year the person who wrote Dead Poets Society won. And that category was just stacked. Steven Soderbergh was nominated for Sex Lies of Videotape. Nora Ephron was nominated for When Harry Met Sally. It was just it was an embarrassment of riches that year. So it really could have gone any way. And then he was nominated years later for a documentary that he made about the four little girls, and that was the name of the documentary, by the way, that were killed in a church bombing back in the 1950s. And this year he's a three-time nominee. First time he's ever been nominated for Best Picture because he's a producer on Black Klansman. First time he's ever been nominated for Best Director. And it's also the first time he's ever been nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. He co-wrote the screenplay with two other gentlemen. So I'm thinking that if there's a large enough contingent within the Academy that wants to right such an egregious wrong, Spike Lee is definitely the one to keep an eye on. But I think putting your money on Alfonso Cuarón repeating for Best Director is pretty smart bet, but keep your eye out for Spike Lee because I think he could come in there and pull off the upset of the night. So, I think they're going to go with Cuarón, but I think Spike Lee has a very good shot.
I think that's a very likely thing that would happen. And Jeff, anything else that you'd like to say about the director's category?
Well, I'm picking Alfonso Cuarón, and I discovered something really interesting about this movie, Roma, that he has directed. During the whole time on set, he had a strict policy that nobody was to see his finished screenplay during shooting, including the actors. So instead, what you're seeing on screen is a mixture of improvisation, in addition to response to random scenarios that he would toss out to his actors that fit his vision. He stated to Entertainment Weekly that he did this because he wanted to create real tension between actors who portrayed his various characters and not have anyone able to predict what was going to be said. He felt that this is what made the film's story completely authentic. And I certainly agree with that. And he won the Best Director Golden Globe for Roma, with numerous other awards, including the Directors Guild Awards, still pending. Now, if recent trajectory is any indication, it's his award to lose. Spike Lee, who directed one of my favorite films for 2018, which was Black Klansman, actually won an Oscar for that celebrated his entire career back in 2015. So I'm not sure if they're going to give him a Best Director Oscar so soon, when they've honored him for something that encompasses his whole career.
Well, you know, there's actually a prior history of that.
Paul Newman.
Oh, I was just about to thank you very quickly, just to touch on what Jeff just said. Paul Newman, where actually got an honorary Oscar a year or two before he actually won Best Actor for The Color of Money. So there's a precedent for that happening. Oh. So it is a possibility, but I understand where you're coming from, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for bringing that up. I have forgotten about it completely. And again, I'm with you. I think Cuarón should win, and I think that he will win. So let's see if we have any differences of opinion in this next category. Jeff, I'm going to ask you to pick first in this category, and the nominees are Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. So, Jeff, what is your feeling about who will win, and who would you like to see win as Best Actor?
For Best Actor, I've chosen Christian Bale. I want him to win. The problem most actors and actresses have when they portray a historical or notable figure, such as Dick Cheney here, is that they're not having their performance. They have their performances coming off as flat, or worse, a total imitation of the living person. For a performance to succeed, they must totally embody who they are portraying and dissolve into that character. And that's exactly what Bale has done here in portraying former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney in Vice. I actually found it interesting that he didn't want the part at first, despite director Adam McKay's persisting. He recently told the Associated Press that I thought the part was going to be impossible. I also didn't want to do that much work. I thought, this is going to be a ton of work. Like, do you realize how difficult this is going to be? I don't really want to do that kind of role. So in the end, he gained up to 40 pounds to portray Cheney and took the role after he experimented with various kinds of makeup, and he became obsessed with the script and extensive research McKay presented to him. Up until George W. Bush's presidency, the role of Vice President of the United States was really a role where the person didn't do much, as Bale quips as Cheney, but wait for the president to die. Cheney, a former CEO, changed all that, as viewers will see, by becoming the most powerful vice president in U.S. history. We knew Cheney's public side going in and his accomplishments, but we come to see that below the surface, he's extremely complicated and an all-around chameleon. Bale acts, walks, talks, and becomes Cheney. We really never feel that we're watching an actor portraying someone else or doing an imitation for the entire 132 minutes Vice is on the screen. There's no question in my mind that Bale deserves this Oscar.
Wow, you've sold me. I wasn't that sold on Christian Bale until I heard that. He's one of my favorite actors, but I still couldn't stop thinking about that he was Christian Bale, and I was comparing him with Sam Rockwell, who I believed was George W. Bush, you know, incarnate, reincarnated in that, in the supporting actor. But I'm going to have to go back and see Vice over again. Now, so that would be your prediction and your preference. Now, how about you, Mac?
Yeah, I was just listening to Jeff, and he made a pretty compelling argument. I'm like, I was all fully prepared to go in for somebody else, and I'm like, ooh, maybe I need to rethink that myself. But
exactly.
based on what I personally would go with, like I said, I definitely would have to reevaluate Bale. Yeah, he was pretty tremendous in that film. But me personally, I just thought that, like you just referenced, that Sam Rockwell just he was channeling George W. Bush like he was the real deal. It was I did not see Rockwell in that film at all. There were glimpses of Bale in the when I saw the film. There were glimpses of him, but with Rockwell, I was like, no, this guy is channeling George W. Bush. So like I said, I definitely had to go back. I might have overlooked something, but if I had to cast a vote for any of these people, Cooper would be out. For me, he's the only weak link in this category, and he still gave a pretty great performance, but I thought compared to these other guys, no. So if I was casting my vote, I would probably, if, for me, it would be a toss-up between Dafoe and Mortensen based on, you know, the performances I saw in those films, because they both, you know, really truly did disappear into those characters. It was a very tough call, but I ultimately went with Dafoe. I ultimately went with him for a variety of reasons. First, I think a lot of people are going to want to celebrate, you know, his work as an artist over the years. This is his fourth nomination. He's been nominated 3 times previously for supporting actor for Platoon, Shadow of the Vampire, and just last year for the Florida Project. I think some people who felt that he was overlooked last year in terms of taking home the gold might cast their vote for him this year, playing Vincent Van Gogh. He and Julian Schnabel made a truly transcendent biopic of an extraordinary artist that a lot of people have heard of but don't know much about. You actually find out quite a bit about him in the movie, but the way they present it, it isn't your typical biopic, and that's what was enticing, that's what was exciting about it. And, you know, full disclosure, he's a Wisconsin native, so, you know, that's part of his charm for me, you know, and I've always been a fan of his work for a long time. I think he's one of the most unsung actors out there working today, along with Mortensen. Both of them are, you know, some of the hardest working actors because they make it look so easy. And to make performances look so effortless, anybody who knows anything about acting knows that to make it look as effortless as the both of them do, they're doing an extraordinary amount of work. Same thing with Jeff Bridges. These are the sort of actors who they're so dependable that people take them for granted. So I would love for either one of them to win, but if ultimately stacking them against each other, if I had to choose which performance impressed me the most and which one had the better material, which one gave, presented rather the biggest challenge, I would have to go with Willem Dafoe. But, you know, that's just my, you know, who I would vote for if I was voting. But in the real world, I do believe that ultimately Christian Bale is going to win. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't have a problem with that because he took a monster, which Dick Cheney was by all intents and purposes in a lot of people's minds, and humanized him enough where, you got some insight into what made him tick. And I just thought that Adam McKay did an exceptional job taking this character that could have been just arch-villain and with Bale's, you know, interpretation and presenting this guy in a way that it was not only palatable, but it was kind of eye-opening. And you got what made him tick in so many ways when it came to so many of the decisions that he made that, you know, some people are very much in favor of and other people were, you know, are still critical of till this day. So I believe Christian Bale is going to win. But if I was voting, I would have to go with Dafoe in a slim margin over Mortensen. So if any of them win, ultimately I'll be thrilled. But I believe it's going to be Bale.
Well, I think I'll have to go along with you on that. That Christian Bale will win. I think that the wild card here is Rami Malek,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't necessarily appreciate that performance. My husband really, really liked it and has been raving about it ever since. And I'm a little bit prejudiced, biased toward Willem Dafoe because I had the good fortune of interviewing him after a screening of The Shadow of a Vampire.
Oh.
And I just thought that he was such a thoughtful, put so much thought into that performance, and I thought he was the painter. Since I thought he was Van Gogh all through that, he just
mm-hmm.
made me, you know, the important thing you forget about the actor. So I would be very, very happy if Willem Dafoe won, and also Viggo Mortensen. I thought he, as you say, became that character. You just felt he was that character. And but I am predicting Christian Bale, so that looks like a unanimous decision there. So next category, this is gonna be fun. The talent that these women have just bowled me over. This is the best actress list of nominees. Glenn Close for The Wife, which I just saw this morning. Thank heavens for On Demand, and it just went on demand, listeners, this morning, so be sure to see The Wife. Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born, Yalitza Aparicio for Roma, and Olivia Colman for the Favorite. So, Mac, why don't you try your luck here with the Best Actress nominee?
Oh, well, this is, I believe if there's a slam dunk anywhere on Oscar night, it's going to be in this category, and without question, Glenn Close and The Wife. I've been saying this since I saw the film last summer. It was very much akin to Cate Blanchett's performance in Jasmine about 4 or 5 years ago. I saw that in the summer as well, and I was saying then, oh, she's going to win the Oscar for Best Actress. It's like she's got the Best Actress Oscar sewn up, and I've been saying that about Glenn Close for months now, and I have not changed my mind. She is phenomenal in this, and it's not going to be what some people have been trying to coin, a career achievement award. No, when she wins, she will be winning for this particular performance in this particular film. Now, is the film as great as she is? No. But what she brings to this movie is so off the chain, for lack of a better phrase, or maybe that's the perfect phrase, that you know, she can't be denied. She absolutely cannot be denied. Basically, I'm going to say what I said a few years ago about another nominee. If she does not take home the Oscar this year, Hollywood burns. Basically, just re-up on that famous tagline that Tim Robbins said years ago about Susan Sarandon when she was on her way to winning her first Oscar for Dead Man Walking. Yeah, if Glenn Close does not win this year, Hollywood burns, because she has been in the industry for, you know, X number of years, 40 years, 45 years, actually, she said, as of this year. And, you know, the talent, the performances, just the staying power has been phenomenal. And, you know, you take all of that into consideration, along with the fact that she is brilliant in this film, which is an adaptation of a Meg Wurlitzer novel scripted by Jane Anderson, and her work, Jonathan Pryce's work, Christian Slater's work, whose work in the film is great but hasn't really been heralded quite the way I thought it should have been. I think he should be in the supporting actor race for his turn in that film. Just, you know, a trio of magnificent performances, but none more magnificent than hers. And she takes a very interior character, and you go on this journey with her. And a lot of what she does is all, you know, in her face. It's in her body language. And, you know, it's just a actor's, you know, workshop looking at her in this film. So, yeah, Glenn Close, without question. Everybody else, you know, certainly deserves to be there in the category, especially Colman, especially McCarthy, who I think surprised a lot of people by proving that she is more than capable of inhabiting characters that aren't, you know, overtly comedic and that rely on a lot of physical comedy, that she actually does have chops to go along with how funny she is. But my goodness, yeah, Glenn Close, and yeah, by a mile.
Well, I wonder if Jeff feels that way too. Jeff, do you think that Glenn Close is the sure thing?
I sincerely hope that the Academy doesn't outright rob Glenn Close of the Best Actress Award. It is unfathomable to me that in a career that spans 37 years that she hasn't won an Oscar despite having been nominated 6 times previously for work including The World According to Garp,
yes.
The Big Chill, The Natural, Fatal Attraction, Dangerous Liaisons, and Albert Nobbs. I feel that the Academy loves a story where someone has struggled to get a film like this made. It actually took close to 15 years to get The Wife to the silver screen. She recently stated that Hollywood had little interest in the subject matter, and that securing funds for the film was extremely hard until European backers came into the picture. Her character resonates with people because she is a strong woman who stands behind her self-absorbed husband, despite his infidelity and abhorrent behavior over the course of 40 years. Now, he's about to pick up the Nobel Prize for Literature, despite murmurings and suspicion from a writer who wants to write his official biography, portrayed by Christian Slater, just itching to write that book. And he feels that the man didn't write a word of the books. For the course of the film, Close is faced with some pretty hard choices and is determined not to be viewed as a shrinking violet and a downtrodden wife. While I appreciated Lady Gaga's performance in The Star is Born, it really strikes me as not the kind that should get a Best Actress Academy Award. The film is extremely depressing, and you have to wonder if the third remake of the original film would have been made if she hadn't signed on to portray Ally, or if the film mm-hmm. would have had the box office clout and attention it received if she wasn't in it. I really like the advocacy she does for the LGBTQT community and her outspokenness on a variety of issues. But while the Academy may like the fact that she's outspoken, the voters in the Academy are a pretty conservative bunch. So the same thing that that is terrific is might be the same thing that keeps them away from voting for her.
I see. That's a good point. But we're all in agreement because I definitely think that that's one of the best, that Glenn Close gave one of the best film performances ever on film. Of course, I'm just, you know, reeling from it now, thinking about it every single minute and how great she was. So we're all together on that, and then that brings us down to the best supporting actor. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you to pick the winner there, or at least predict the winner, and then explain why, and tell us who you think will win and who you prefer. And the nominees are Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Adam Driver for The Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell for Vice. And we've already talked a little bit about Sam Rockwell. So, Jeff, what's going on with you about this category?
My pick is Mahershala Ali, and he's been the front runner and the man to beat in this category for quite some time, having already won the Golden Globe for his role as classical pianist Doc Shirley. Shirley must hire an extremely uncouth bruiser named Tony the Lip Vallelonga in order to tour the Deep South without any incident. The pair are very reminiscent of Felix Unger and Oscar Madison and Neil Simon's The Odd Couple at the beginning of this film. Ali exudes warmth, humor, compassion, and a resolve not to allow racist actions of others to influence his character's behavior in a performance that really connects. I think the Academy knows how to separate Ali's incredible performance from the considerable backlash screenwriter Nick Vallelonga has faced recently with an anti-Muslim tweet that resurfaced about 9/11. The fact his script, according to Shirley's family, is a symphony of lies should have no bearing at all on what Ali has accomplished here. The only thing I feel that might go against him is the fact that the actor won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar only 2 years ago for Moonlight, and they may not want to bestow another on him soon. Now, Richard E. Grant is his strongest challenger for the role of Jack Hawk in Can You Ever Forgive Me? The character is a go-between writer Lee Israel and potential buyers of incredibly candid letters she's crafted in the voice of several famous authors and tries to pass off as being real. Grant recently told the Irish Examiner that he feels Ali has the Oscar in the bag, and he doesn't understand after a 30-year career why suddenly the Academy saw this performance of his and that it gained their attention while his other work has not.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know about that. So you definitely are predicting him, and you prefer that he would win this supporting actor this year.
Yes, preferring and predicting.
Great. And how about you, Mac?
Oh, with this category, I think, yeah, I concur. I believe Mahershala Ali has pretty much got this in the bag. There's a precedent for people winning this category within a couple of years of each other. Matter of fact, Jason Robards won it two consecutive years. He won first for All the President's Men and then the following year for Julia. So, and then obviously Christoph Waltz won for Inglourious Basterds, and a few years later, he won for Django Unchained. So, yeah, there's a precedent for people repeating within a short period of time in this category. So I think Mahershala Ali's got the inside track for a variety of reasons. He's a first and foremost, he's a phenomenal actor. He's proven that time and time again. Anybody who discovered him in Luke Cage and in some of his early work prior to that, they knew that he was an actor to be reckoned with. This category is stacked with some truly great talent, you know, from Ali to Sam Elliott, who's just now receiving his first nomination of his career for his work in the film. Adam Driver, a young up-and-coming actor who has done great work over the years and is now finally getting the recognition he deserves. Same thing with Richard E. Grant, who isn't so young, but he's been doing work for a long time and, you know, certainly finally getting his first ever nomination. And then last year's winner, Sam Rockwell, back for the second year in a row, having won previously just last year for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri in this category. But Mahershala Ali, like I said, for the talent, for the performance, his performance is so ingrained with Viggo Mortensen's. It's really a 1-2 punch. And you would think that by Ali winning so many prizes, that Mortensen would also be walking away with a lot of hardware instead of just racking up nominations. But they both have been in the race, and they both have been getting recognized. Ali is the one that everybody's going with. He's won the Golden Globe, like Jeff pointed out. He also just won the Screen Actors Guild Award a couple of this past Sunday, and so the momentum is squarely behind him. And Mahershala Ali in a walk. I think he's going to take it. And of these nominees, he is the most deserving just in terms of what he brought to that character. But for me, if there is a dark horse in this particular race, it really could go either between Rockwell or Grant. I think either one of them could possibly get in there and take it if there was an upset. But I think it's Ali's.
I believe it is Ali too, and I think he will win, and I hope he does win. And that brings us to supporting actress. So, Jeff, here are the nominees: Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira for Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone for The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. What is your feeling in this category about who the winner will be, and is that the one that you want?
I'm going with Amy Adams, and that's the one that I would like. While Regina King has been the front runner in this category for a role as Sharon Rivers in director Barry Jenkins' If Beale Street Could Talk, I feel that the Best Supporting Actress category is a much tighter race than most people would have you think. That is why I'm predicting an upset in this category and an Amy Adams win for a role as Lynn Cheney in Vice. Adams has been nominated in this category four previous times for The Fighter, Doubt, Junebug, The Master, and once for Best Actress in American Hustle. She portrays Lynn Cheney, who is Dick Cheney's wife, as someone who is as equally as powerful as he is, and you really see her change the tide of fortune his way when he has a heart attack on the campaign trail once, and she goes up there and starts rallying for him at these appearances. Now, Adams actually said that she didn't really want the part, but she didn't have any confidence in herself that she could do it. She felt that if she did it, she'd be a failure, which she's not here. And she took this part because of director McKay's extensive research and liking that it presented her with a chance to portray someone over the course of several decades. Her portrayal, as I said, is spot on. She's hard-nosed and a leader in her own right who will support her husband to the death, putting his interest ahead of her own daughter. She's best in the scene where her daughter Mary, who happens to be gay, is distraught after she and Dick Cheney take an anti-gay stance on same-sex marriage to ensure that her sister could win an election in Wyoming. So it's definitely something that resonated with me, considering I knew who the real-life people were, and it's not an imitation here. And she really gets it. And in the scene, she consoles her daughter, saying that she's being hysterical. As I said, she dissolves the character and portrays her as someone who is equally as powerful, if not more, than Dick Cheney himself. So it's definitely a performance that resonates with me.
I'm going to have to be the timekeeper here. we should have set this up for an hour, but I'm going to summarize that for you, Jeff. You predict Amy Adams and you prefer Amy Adams in that category. And Mac, you just have a few minutes to give your prediction in that category and tell who you think will win and who you want to win. We only have three minutes left.
All right, I'll keep it short and sweet then. I predict that Regina King will win. She's been winning everything up until this point, the Golden Globe, a host of film critic prizes. A performance in that film is magical, just like the film is magical. She brings so much to the role that it was a joy to get a chance to see a film version of a James Baldwin novel. I had never seen – well, actually, I had seen one before, but it wasn't good. This one, though, transcended the material in certain ways, just in terms of lyricism and exposition and what Barry Jenkins brought to the proceedings. The performances, top to bottom, were uniformly excellent, her certainly being, in that equation. But Amy Adams certainly does have a extraordinary chance of winning her first Oscar on her sixth try. It's a possibility. Do I think she will ultimately win? We'll find out soon enough. But if I was casting my vote, as much as I, really appreciate what Amy Adams did in Vice, I would still have to cast my vote for Regina King and If Beale Street Can Talk.
Yes, I would have to agree with you on that, but I am very impressed also with Amy Adams. And I'm so sorry to say that our time is almost up. And thanks so much, Mark and Jeff, for being terrific guests again today. And thanks also to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support, as well as to our listeners. And special thanks to Nikki Starr. Sorry that she couldn't be here today. And she's such a great producer. And to Nancy Lombardo and Angela Drake Perry for supporting our show on their own radio shows. Nancy is the hilarious host of What's the Buzz right here on BTR every Monday and Friday morning at 10:30 Eastern Time. And Angela is the gracious VIP over at 502 Fallen Angel Radio. That's all for now, folks. So let's take us out with my favorite version of, you guessed it, Hooray for Hollywood.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.